Shalom Aleichem, fellow Talmidim of the Yeshiva. It's a schus to share some Torah with you on the Inyan of Bein HaMitzarim. It's well known that there is a Yesod that often you find in the Torah and Chazal, a set of 10, which is made up of 3 that are more Shurashi, more basic, more Yesodistic, and 7 that come from it. And I would point out that really we have 2 kinds of that arrangement, 2 different sugim. Of course, the Av Shebekulam is the 10 emanations from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chochma Bina V'Das, and the Zayin Sfiris, the 3 basic Chochma Bina and Das, which come the 7. There the 7 emerge from the 3. Rav Shimshon Pinkas, in his Sefer on Bein HaMitzarim, talks about this, and he brings a wonderful thing from Moshe Shapiro, who told him when it says in the Pasuk, Eretz Nachale Mayim Ayonos Usahomos, that's 3 Shrashim, from which come the Zayin Minim of Paris, which Eretz Yisrael is Mishtabeach with. That's another example of a 3 from which come the 7. However, you have examples like in Bechaya by the Behemoth Tahoros, where he says there are 3, the 3 Behemoth Tahoros from which come. They don't come from them, but then you have 7 less, the Chayas, 7 Chayas and 3 Behemoth Tahoros. So it's the same pattern of 3 and 7, but it's not that the 7 emerge from the 3, but rather the 3 are more Choshev, more Rosh Rashi. Similarly, the Lashon of the Rambam and the Torah, beginning of Hilchos Ishus. Asara Dvarim, Chayev Adam L'Ishtoi, Gil Medivri Torah, Zayin Medivri Seifrim. It's not the Pshat that the Zayin emerged from the 3. There were 10, 3 that are more Shurashi, and 7 that are less so. So I'm pointing out to you that there are 2 kinds, we find 2 kinds of arrangements of 10. One in which the first 3 are the Shoresh, from which emerges the 7, and one in which the 3 are more Chashiv, more prominent than the 7 that emerge from it. Now certainly, Lemizbainin, the Gimel, the Paranusa, and the Zayin and the Chemta, as Avada, the Peronios, are there for the sake of our growing from them, our changing from them. And Rashi says in a number of places, Hashem, that Nechama means to change the way a person looks at something. So the Gimel, the Parnusa, are there to bring us to a change of perspective, and that brings the Nechama, the Zayin, the Nechemta, is the change of perspective. So I would like to discuss a little bit one of the lessons that we can learn from the Parnusa that will bring us to the Nechemta. So, as we all know, the Mishnah in Tainus cites the fact that 5 things happen, Shavasar B'Tamas, 5 things happen, Tisha B'Av, and Maral speaks at length out the 5, parallel 5. And Shviras Haluchos is parallel to the Chet HaMeraglim. What is the Biur Hadover? So I once heard a wonderful thing from Rav Moshe Shapiro. He brought a Rashi in Yecheskel, Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Rashi says over there that Mesim, there it's talking about Chizkiyahu's Shir of Hodah, not Shir of Hodah, but his Tefillah, that after his life was saved. And he mentions there that he thought he wouldn't be able to say ka. So Rashi says, because Mesim, he thought he was going to die. Mesim cannot say the Shevach of ka. Shenamar, lo ha-mesim yehalalu ka. It's very shaposik. So Moshe Shapiro said like this, that the shame ka is the shame with which Kadosh Baruch Hu created Olam Haza and Olam Haba. Kibukah Hashem Tzur Olamim. He was Tzair the Olamim, Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, or the Shem Ka. So Rav Shapiro was mevayer that the Os Yud is the Os for Olam Haba. It's Al Shem HaMachshava. It's the abstract. It's Lashon Osed, always the Yud, versus the He, which is definitive article, the concrete. It's rooted. The He rests firmly on the ground, has its Arglayim. The Yud kind of floats in the air. So the Yud is the Os that denotes Olam Haba, whereas the He is the Os of Olam Hazeh. That's all Mavur in various Svarim. So much for us is like this, that the Mesim, Manushach, if you're talking about the Mace of Russia, it's called a Mace, so he has Olam Hazeh, he has no Kesh Olam Haba. So he cannot be Meshabeach Hashem with the Shem Ka. He only has the He, not the Yud. Talking about the Mesim that are in Olam Haba, they only have the Yud. They don't have the He. So thus you have Lo Mesim Yehaluka. So that was his Taich in this Rashi in Yecheskel. I'm sorry, it's in Yeshaya, Paraklam Ches, Pasuk Yud Aleph, that says the Mesim cannot be Meshabeach Hashem with the Shem Ka. What does it have to do with what we are discussing? Because this is not from a Shapiro. It's Yadua. It's brought from many of the Bali Aveda, a Remez and Megillas Eicha, where Chazal say the pasuk of Kol wrote Feha, he siguha bein hamitzorim, that all those who pursue her in Klal Yisrael caught her in bein hamitzorim. So Chazal, this is the 3 weeks. Tikkus bein hamitzorim. We have so many tzoras occurring. Kol wrote fel isigua bein hamitzarim. So Chazal say it's a reference to our tekufa bein hamitzarim. The Bali Avoda say, see in every einish and every tzara the pnim an opportunity. to have a kesh with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So they read the puzzle like this: Kol roidef ka. Anyone who pursues Ka, Hisiguha, anyone who pursues Hashem will catch Hashem, will be able to attach themselves to Hashem, Bein Hamitzarim. Ko Rodev Ka, Hisiguha Bein Hamitzarim. So what I'm stelling on is, and this remez, that it comes with the shame Ka. Why does it come with the shame Ka? So, suggesting the pshat is like this. What have we said so far? We said the Shem Ka is Merumiz, Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, the He and the Yud. So, the person's, our Avodah is to have aligned our perspective in Olam Hazeh should be aligned and in sync with our Sheifa for Olam Haba. That's the full key of the Shem Ka, is when those two things are in sync and aligned. Our Kesher to Olam Hazeh is a gateway, pathway to Olam Haba. And when there's a Hefsek, is Chal. When that is a break between the Yud and the He, that's when we get into trouble. That's when you have Tzoras. So the Kol Reidef Ka, we're trying to Mesakein the Hefsek between the Yud and the He, the loss of perspective, how Olam Hazeh should be a gateway to Olam Haba. And that's how to look at it. That's what we're trying to fix in Bein HaMitzarim. That's what the Peronius is trying to accomplish. And that's going to bring us to the Nechama. So the Pshat's like this. The Luchos, just to pick one Machshav about the Luchos, which really captures this same idea. The Gemara in Shkolim, Yerushalmi in Shkolim, it's Meirich about the Luchos. Excuse me. One of the things it says about the Luchos is, no matter which way you turn the Luchos, front, back, side, you can read the words. Now, everybody, if you imagine to yourself, somebody would come out with, you'll excuse me, using the muscle, with a phone, that no matter which way you turn it, you're looking at the, you know, I guess it's called the interface, the interface of the phone, the front of the phone, in every side. There's no trying to turn it in the right, there's no, everywhere you turn it, you have the front of the phone. Very convenient, obviously. Very convenient. Or a muscle from a different generation. If you have a book where no matter which way you turn the book, you'll be able to see the words. That's a very convenient thing. Someone who's very sensitive can capture in their hargasha a little the pinprick of frustration when you have to turn the book or the phone to get this is just a little bit, and that would be gone. But the question: what is the point? The luchos were in the Aron HaKodesh. Nobody read the luchos. It was not an everyday tool that people use. So what is the point of this particular aspect of the luchos? No matter which way you turn it, you have the words. I think the pshat's like this. That the luchos, which is, the Mefarshim say this, the luchos are symbolic of the guf ha'adam. The words are the neshama. The luchos themselves represent the guf. So in a world of tikkun, like the Ramchal describes, the guf is like a glass, a beautiful, very clear glass through which the neshama is visible. So too, the luchos, bitafartam, bishleimusam, represent the adam coming to a madrega where there's complete ichud between neshama and guf, meaning the guf is totally tofel, like a glass that does nothing but highlight and show its contents. That's the beauty of the glass. It's nothing in itself. It totally highlights its contents. So too, the luchos, if you turn it every single way, you see the words. That's exactly Rabbi Isai, the message of the Shade Ka, that the Olam Hazeh, the physical, Olam Haba, the spiritual, are exactly aligned in the correct proportion. And the Shvira of the luchos is the loss, in the Bekoach, it was just a representative, the loss of that perspective. And that was fully complete. That loss came to its full completion with the Chet Amram, because it's the exact same thing, the Meraglim, the Nisayan, of going from a Midbardic existence to Eretz Yisraelic existence. To have it aligned that my tachas in the Midbar is not the Midbar for itself. It's to come to Eretz Yisrael, to have these two worlds aligned and to be able to move from one to the other that they were not able to do. That's the sherish of it, is in the Shviras Haluchos, and the completion of it is in the Chet HaMeraglim. And there's a very important hair here, Rabbi Yisai, which is this. So you think, so what's the difficulty? All the challenges of Olam Hazeh, you know, that comes our way, these challenges make it difficult. But in the Midbar was the opposite. In the Midbar, they were living in Olam Habadik existence. And they had to move to Eretz Yisrael, which is more of a concrete existence. In Olam Hazeh, the movement is the exact opposite direction. So difficulty is not so much the challenge of the Gashmias versus the Ruchnias. The challenge is understanding that what you have is temporary and there's a Tachlis beyond, and to be aligned with Tachlis. And different times in the Kufas, the challenge is it's different. Sometimes it's moving from the existence of Midbar Ochleman to being a farmer in Eretz Yisrael. That move is a tremendous challenge. Sometimes it's the reverse. To go from to have in a gosh mystical world to keep our eye on the ball, that's the important thing. I still remember that Rabbi Weinberg, Olam Shalom, says Yortzeit today, his frustration expressed to us in a Chabura once, they were trying to organize the call. This is way back in the early days of Kolam going to far-flung places. And the difficulty was that some of the people they were trying to convince to go, there was no pizza shop in this destination. He was so frustrated with that because it was so beyond him. This go, what is the purpose? Where are we right now? You're in a wonderful community and it has pizza shops. But what is the tachlis? Don't let that distract or confuse you. That's the challenge of the shame ka, to be in perfect alignment. So, Midarbe Rabbi Isai, it is Rabbi Weinberg's yard site. I just want to say, one nakuda. that I always think about, or Weinberg, this is his 25th yard site, that anything that happened in the world, any event, or anything in the past, in the present, he took it and he ground it in the mill of Torah. But what does the Torah say about it? Nothing, it's an expression, there was nothing that wasn't grist for his mill. There was nothing that he couldn't take, he didn't take. And that was his perspective. It wasn't, you know, I'm one thing in the yeshiva and then there's things going on in the world. No, the whole world, he saw the Torah the way, and he brought tremendous illumination to difficult and very hard circumstances because his perspective was kulay Torah. He had the balance of the yud and the hey, that the olam hazeh would never blinded him. I remember the someone once saying over that he was with Rabbi Weinberg and he the Rebbe had left him pizza for lunch. So Rabbi Weinberg was supposed to put it in the oven. Remember, he had no clue that you put pizza in the oven. It was just totally, it's the second mention of pizza in this discussion. It's just total coincidence, Rabbi Isai. You know, he had no clue he had to put the pizza in the oven. It was funny. So people say this is very tasty. I don't really understand. But just like this, that's like a cotton sticker oifen. But the point is, Rabbi Isai, kol reidef ka. If you pursue this goal, and it must be pursued, will not happen by itself. If it's left on its own, you will not have the balance of the yod and the kei. Kol roidev ka hisiguha, and the end of hisiguha is vav kei, which means the shame will be shalem. That Klal Yisrael's goal is to, with our avoda, and trying to achieve this, to make the shame shalem, we're living, everybody says, we all know, in difficult times, and really unprecedented times in so many ways. We need so badly that to have this nechama, to really get it right. Kol roidev ka, anyone who pursues in this tekufa, this goal of aligning, a realigning, it's time for a realignment. You sit on the floor in Tisha B'Av, it's time to rethink things. The world comes to a stop. It's a time to try to realign our goals. And what's important, what's not important, it could be in big things, it could be in nuances. Kol roidev ka hisiguha bein hamitzarim. Shekach.